And welcome to First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down everything between what should be a really good fight night here for the UFC when you're looking at Rob Font against Jose Aldo. The King of Rio is back. This should be a really good contest over the next hour. Nick Likas is going to join us in just a moment. Jordan Sherwood, Lou Finocchiaro, and Reed Kuhn will join us throughout this hour. But when you look at Jose Aldo, the amazing thing about the King of Rio is we just assume that he's got to be the old man in the octagon and it's got to be time to hang him up and he's so old. He's 35 years young. So when you look at that, well, Rob Font's got to be the young guy. He's 34 in this matchup. So it's always amazing to me the way we envision certain fighters that we assume they got to be past their peak, they got to be done. Jose Aldo, of course, maybe arguably the greatest featherweight champion of all time, now down here at 135 pounds. Even though he's advancing in age, his skill level is still right there. He is the small underdog at plus 130, and Rob Font right now is minus 150. So to break down these cards every which way to try to get you the best value for the next hour, let's bring in the man who sets those odds right here at Circa Sportsbook. He is Nick Likas, and Nick, it's great to have you back on First Strike. First of all, how was your Thanksgiving?
We all had
a week off to kind of take a breath from UFC.
Yes,
how was your time away?
It was fantastic. It's always good to get that little deep breath, right? I probably ate a little bit too much, which I shouldn't have, but other than that, it was good. Thank you.
And again, when you do have that week off, do you feel like that people that there was obviously no action to wager on, do they come back with a ferocity here the week later going, man, we missed that action for a week?
It does seem that way. A little bit of withdrawal, right? Especially if there's a couple weeks off in between. But yeah, even with a week, you feel that hunger to get back in and bet, especially with the fight game.
You know, I mentioned this with Aldo here, and I see the number that you've got here, plus 125 right now. When you set those odds, did you see money come in on Aldo, the popular fighter, the former arguably greatest featherweight of all time?
I was expecting it. So again, it was another spot where I kind of undercut the market a little bit because I know that he's going to be the popular guy, like you said, the public guy that everybody recognizes and kind of a household name in comparison to Rob Font, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's going to be some sharp money taking a bite at that dog price. So
right.
You have to kind of play defense a little bit on the Aldo side for sure. But we are going to see some balance here because some sharps are going to bite on the Font side, obviously. So it's another spot where probably two-way sharp action is going to be across the board.
And again, I know that's what you're looking for, that two-way action. Have you seen, though, has there been one side so far? Do you think it's been more Aldo and you expect the buyback to come on Font?
Yes. So far, it's been a little bit more towards Aldo, but it hasn't been anything significant. So it's pretty close. We are getting two-way action steady right now, but a little bit more towards Aldo.
You know, I've talked on previous fight cards here where it always feels like the old guy, whoever the old guy might be, that the general public's going to bet on the younger fighter here. When you have two guys, the theory is one guy's much older, but that's not, in fact, fact.
It's amazing, right? If you look at it, like you said, 34 to 35, but it is the fight years that come into play, though, right? So you can't always just go by the actual ages themselves. Aldo's obviously been in more wars, but Font's not a young gun either,
no.
Like you said. I mean, he's been a veteran. Even before he got to the UFC, he's had a lot of fights in, you know, tough organizations as well. So both of them are kind of, have that wear and tear on them, but Aldo a little bit more so.
You know, it's interesting, we're watching the weigh-ins here. We're going to have Lou Finocchiaro join us later on as well. And Lou always watches those weigh-ins. And when I watched it, I saw a lot of mutual respect between these two guys. And again, look, when you're fighting Jose Aldo, unless it's Conor McGregor, there's normally a lot of respect that is shown his way. I don't know that that's reflected in the over-under, but 4.5, if you want to take the over that this is going to go the distance, my goodness, I mean, you're going to pay a price here juiced heavily at minus 145. Do we expect that feeling out process because it is Aldo? We just don't expect a firefight right away?
Yeah, I think obviously the market is saying, and I think it probably does hit the scorecards, but that round 4 and round 5 is kind of the sweet spot where we are going to see bettors kind of fade that over a little bit and come in on the under. So I think it's set about right, but I think the line will drop as we get closer to fight day because of the action and anticipation of the Font side maybe winning before it hits the scorecards, right? If you look at Aldo in the past against Jan, against Holloway, he's kind of folding those later rounds. So I think people are kind of assuming that's the case here with Font, but it's a different type of fight.
Now, we're talking, of course, with Nick Likas here, sets the lines here at Circus Sportsbook, but check him out on UFC On the Line and UFC Fight Pass. Excellent show you have going on there. Let's talk more about this card here. And Rafael Fiziev against Brad Riddell, quake back in the octagon here. And Riddell right now, this is almost a pick 'em here, small favorite for Fiziev at minus 125, a plus 105 in the comeback right now for Riddell at 10-1. In the UFC. Are you seeing a lot of action so far in this fight?
We are. This is one of the best fights on the card,
yeah.
Man. I mean, I think a lot of fans are anticipating this as much as the main event, which is crazy, right? Because the true diehard fans know what kind of quality matchup this is. But Fazeev side is the popular, trendy side, and it's getting that action a little bit more so than Riddell.
So again, it almost feels like right now, if you like Fazeev, you might want to take him now because with the way you're seeing it, this number's probably going to go up.
Yeah, it's rising. I wouldn't be surprised if it does close even higher than it is right now, but I think we will see that buyback once it hits a certain point, which is coming soon. It's not going to get too crazy. We will see some sharp action come in and hit Riddell's side.
And again, three-round fight here, so you see the over juiced really heavily over 2.5 rounds here to -220. Again,
that's tough.
That is a tougher one, right? Because it feels like there might be a live play on that because somebody could go inside of 3 rounds or 2.5 if you have this side.
Absolutely. You have two elite level strikers. Right. So that's tough. I mean, they're durable. These guys definitely come to fight. They're prepared defensively. They're sound overall. So I think a lot, again, the market is expecting it to hit the scorecards and be a really close, competitive, awesome fight. But like you said, the firepower on each side, man. Whew. And you got to think, Fazeev does tend to slow down. Every fight that we've seen, the end of round two, round three, he starts to slow down a little bit. Riddell kind of increases his output at that time, too. So it's going to get interesting late.
You know, it's interesting to me, too, Nick, when I see the way that you set the lines here. And obviously with these first two fights, pretty close so far, right? When you're looking at Aldo and you're looking at Riddell here as the small comebacks for the plus money here. But what I'm noticing here is, obviously, when you're going for the total rounds, you got to juice those things because it feels like when people get one side action, they just keep hammering that same side, especially when they see the big number, the volume for juice. They're not afraid to lay it?
No, not really. And again, I think a lot of people kind of hop on board if they see the line kind of climbing a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Some people are not price conscious at all, so it doesn't matter. They see the steam coming that way, they're just going to jump on the steam anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and a little bit more. I think you have to respect the over and fights in general more so a little bit than the under at times because, again, these guys are warriors. They're at the top of the food chain. They're at the highest level competing. So they should be able to kind of survive each other, so to speak, right? So you got to kind of favor that over a little bit more and be more protective as a bookmaker on that over.
Yeah, they're not in there to quit.
Right.
They're
exactly.
In there. They're literally.
That's
exactly the way that they look at it as fighters. I would be out of there. I'd tap out instantly. Let's talk about the Carpenter. Clay Guida is back in this one, plus 160 against Leonardo Santos. Again, when you've got a more of a name fighter in Clay Guida, because he's been around the octagon, as we well know, 39 years of age, but he's actually the younger fighter in this fight, and yet he's a pretty heavy underdog.
Yeah, I mean, it's the skill set and the size. I mean, Santos is a big guy in lightweight, right?
Yeah.
And Guida, first of all, hats off to Guida for sticking around so long. He's been in the UFC. He's been a mainstay for so long, and he's competed at the highest level. He's awesome. I love the guy. But he's up against it here a little bit because Santos does have the better striking, probably. I mean, Guida's striking is improving, but he also has the better ground game. And again, that physical, the size of his, you know, his body and stature is going to probably play an effect as well. That's why you're seeing him a decent.
And again, the energy level that Clay Guida fights with, you know, I'd love
spark
to have
plug.
That just in every walk of life. But it is interesting that, again, when we look at these first three fights, and we'll get to the fourth fight here in a second, I mean, these are not huge. Like, we've seen in the last couple of weeks a lot of, you know, minus 300s, minus 260s. These are as close, or at least on paper right now, the way you're seeing the wagering come in, it feels like it's pretty even across the board so far for the first three fights.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we are seeing some sharper action. We just touched on the Santos-Guida fight. They're not afraid to lay that chalk at minus 170, minus 180. So we are seeing the sharper side come in right now, at least, on the Santos side. But yeah, the other fights are a lot more balanced. Again, Fazeev is getting a little bit more action, but it's nothing overwhelming yet for all three of those fights. And from top to bottom, there's 14 fights on this card.
Right.
And if you look at the lines, they're all fairly competitive. There's only one high spot on this card, so it's going to be great.
It is amazing how deep this card is for, you know, non-pay-per-view. Obviously, when we talked about having the week off, but boy, they come back with a vengeance with a really deep fight card. Let's get to Jimmy Crute here. And I don't know if you bet against a guy with a mullet. He's rocking that thing here on the weigh-ins today on a Friday against Jamal Hill here. Hill right now getting the plus money, plus 150 on the comeback, minus 170 for Crute. Obviously, these are big boys going up to 205, the light heavies here. What do you make of this number so far and what you've seen for action-wise?
This is tricky. Well, the early action and some sharp action came in on Crute right away, right? The narrative in this fight is obviously Crute has an advantage on the ground. I mean, especially after their last fight, if you look at how Hill lost that fight, a lot of people are kind of scratching their head a little bit. So the confidence level of Hill kind of dropped. Sharp action took the line up on Crute. Now we're seeing sharp action come back in on the Hill side as well, because if he can keep this fight standing, he's got a path to victory, obviously, as well. So it's whoever can implement their game plan, and the action is kind of dictating that as well, because you're seeing support on the Crute side, now you're seeing support back on the Hill side.
And for a three-round fight here, when you look at the total rounds, that's as even as it gets right now, minus 110 here for a round and a half. Have you seen any action either way there?
Yeah, I mean, there's two-way action there as well. I mean, we're going to see some over 1.5 rounds for the people that think, again, they're quality competitors, they should be able to kind of go over that 7.5-minute mark, but with the firepower they have, there's going to be a lot of bettors wanting to take the under because, again, Crute gets it down on the ground, a good chance of a finish. If he doesn't, there's a good chance of a finish on the feet as well. So this is going to be an awesome fight.
All right, a couple minutes left here at Nick Kalikas. Let's talk about the biggest favorite we've got on the board here, at least for the main card. That's Brendan Allen, minus 365 right now against Chris Curtis. The comeback there at plus 280. Are you getting any action on the underdog here? Has this been all one-way traffic?
I'm playing a little defense on the underdog, honestly, so I'm a little bit lower market-wide because I think the sharper action is going to hit the dog. The price is a little bit too high, in my opinion. I understand that Allen has been great. His stand-up is even improving, and he's a ground fighter, so he's a tough out. But Curtis, man, I mean, he's one of these guys, again, that outside of the UFC has been around for a long time. He keeps on improving his game. He's got that knockout power. He proves it time and time again, and his takedown defense keeps on improving. So that's why I'm playing a little bit more defense on the dog side here. But again, I don't think we're seeing overwhelming action hit that favorite side either. We're low, and a lot of people aren't biting on it yet. So I think the line will drop, if anything.
You know, I always like to ask my producer, Britton Hess, before we start these shows, I go, what fighter are you really intrigued by? And he said Mickey Gall. And there's a name that a lot of fight fans obviously know right now, but he's a rather sizable underdog here going up against Alex Morono. What do you make of this contest, and have you seen money come in on Gall?
Yeah, we're going to see more money coming on Gall. But again, another spot where we are getting a little bit of two-way, but more action on Morono, actually. So right now, we need Gall to win this fight. Such an intriguing matchup. Gall has an outstanding ground game. We know that. I mean, he's a special elite fighter on the ground. Morono, a lot of people are giving him a ton of respect, right? But he does have some issues, and that is getting put on his back.
Yes.
So if Gall gets him down, Morano's going to have some problems. But on the feet, obviously, again, Morono has the advantage, and he's been in there some great competition, picking up some solid quality wins as of late, and he seems to be improving. So this is an intriguing fight.
All right, well, we have about 20 seconds left. Anything on the prelim card that you really like?
I think, again, from top to bottom, everything's intriguing. Everything's close and competitive. I was disappointed Mirzakhanov and Bandera got canceled.
Yeah.
That heavyweight fight would have been a barn burner as well. But, no, I'm looking forward to this entire card.
Nick, always appreciate the time and the information. Again, check him out at UFC On the Line on UFC Fight Pass. When we come back, Jordan Sherwood joins us right here. It is First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on First Strike on VSiN, I'm your host, Dave Ross, and as we are talking all things UFC Fight Night, should be a really good one between Jose Aldo, the King of Rio, against Rob Font. Let's bring in Jordan Sherwood right now from ESPN Chicago. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Woodon1063. So, Jordan, let's get right to the main event here. You know, it's funny, I was just talking with Nick Kalikas here at Circa, and we just assume that, you know, Jose Aldo, he's an old guy like me. He's only 35. And Rob Font is 34. How do you take that into account when we've got a guy, a name fighter, you know, maybe arguably the greatest featherweight of all time? When you handicap this fight, does all the prior wear and tear, does that factor into this fight decision for you?
I mean, it does normally when you're looking at a fight like this, but Jose Aldo, you know, has kept up the championship level pedigree that he set for himself when he was dominating the WEC and then came over. As you know, probably the greatest featherweight that we've ever seen. And, you know, we all thought that when he made the jump in weight or when he changed weight classes, he was naturally going to go up to lightweight, but he makes the, you know, weight cut down now to bantamweight and has looked solid, albeit, you know, he's 3-3 in his last six fights. He's been finished in a couple of them, but they're against the best of the best. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of wear and tear. And quite frankly, Rob Font is the type of guys that he is continuing to beat, no matter at featherweight or at bantamweight. So that's why I think a lot of people still believe the wear and tear does not matter, the age does not matter, because Jose Aldo has looked brilliant even though he's lost the last few.
Yeah, no question about it. The Peter Yan fight's the one that sticks out to me. I mean, it was a really hotly contested fight there, and Peter Yan, I think a lot of people view him as the best in the business in that weight class. No disrespect to Aljamain Sterling, that's for sure, but to your point, he's been in there with some of the very best, and he has not backed down at all. When you see 4.5, juice to the over, that people are expecting this fight to go at least, you know, well into the fifth round here, if not the distance, is that the way the fight script that you see playing out as well?
I do, and the reason being is because I'm leaning Rob Font in this fight. I think that the size, his boxing, and he's on the rise up. I think that Rob Font's going to be fighting for a championship at some point in the next year or so. So that's why, but I don't think he finishes him. I think that it's going to be a kickboxing, boxing match on the feet. Jose Aldo will start strong, but I'm going to lean on the size. I'm going to lean on the pressure fighting of Rob Font and the cardio of Rob Font to be the deciding factor he gets his hand raised on Saturday night, but it's because of that, and I also like the over. So him by decision may be a prop that you look at as well for Rob Font.
Yeah, that would be plus 180 right there if you like to go Jordan's logic with that one. Hard to argue with it, taking Rob Font and going the distance at plus 180. Okay, let's talk about Brendan Allen. He's the biggest favorite here on the main card, minus 365 against Chris Curtis. Is there any value in your opinion here, Jordan, on the dog?
Well, I mean, I guess you got to argue that because he was a huge dog his last time out against Phil Hawes, was losing that fight, and then he lands a bomb and finishes the fight and look, and gets rewarded. I mean, the guy's a great, it's a great story. Worked so hard to get to the UFC, and he takes advantage of a short notice. Another short notice fight, but this is a bad recipe. Brendan Allen is coming into his own. He's a very well-versed, well-rounded fighter, Brazilian jiu-jitsu ace on the ground, coming to his own on his feet. He's a tough guy to put out, and albeit he did lose, two fights ago against Sean Strickland at a catchweight fight. Don't think that's going to be the case this one, but I do think there's a finish. I think either Curtis is going to land another bomb and absolutely obliterate Allen, or what I think is the likely scenario is Allen overwhelms him at some point midway through the first round into the second round, and we get a finish either way. I like the under in this fight at 1.5. I'm definitely playing Allen, but he'll be a part of any parlay that I look at because there's way too much to lie down at 365 when you look at what Chris Curtis did his last time against Phil Hawes.
I love the rationale there, trying to find that value and take the under in 1.5 there. You get much better odds, obviously, than backing the big favorite here at Allen, minus 365. I'm always intrigued when I see the Carpenter get back in there and do his work, and he's not getting any younger, but yet he's actually the younger fighter against Santos in this one. Yeah. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, and look, no bias aside, because it's the Carpenter. He's from Illinois, so, you know, that's where I am right now. He's a big Chicago guy. But look, I mean, yeah, he doesn't seem to lose the pace. Look, and you know what he's going to do. He's going to try and land an overhand right. He's going to go for a double leg and try and outwork Leonardo Santos. And Leonardo Santos is an interesting case. I mean, this is a guy that is inconsistent as they come. One fight in 2014, one fight in 2015. One fight in 2016, then didn't fight till 2019, one fight in 2020. He just hasn't put the consistency together, and at times he's shown an inability to fight strong for three rounds. Cardio's a struggle. Look, he could land something big. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Goita's been submitted before countless times throughout his UFC and mixed martial arts career. But I'm going to lean the dog. I'm going to lean that Goita doesn't put himself in danger. He fights at a pace, in and out, maybe gets a takedown, and is going to win and the judges' scorecards. Because I think he looked good his last fight, even though it was a split decision loss to Marco Madsen. I handicapped him to win the fight. I thought he did win the fight, but the judges saw it another way, split decision victory for the former Olympic wrestler. So I'll take Guida as the dog in this fight. I think he outworks Leonardo Santos. Maybe a similar kind of way to path to victory as I like Rob Font to beat Jose Aldo the same with Clay Guida over Leonardo Santos.
Yeah, that's the way that I would see it. If Guida's going to, the pathway to victory there is he's got to get the double legs, right? Because the height advantage that Santos has on him, right? We got to expect that Clay Guida does what he normally does, which is keep shooting those double legs and try to take this fight down to the ground.
Yeah, I think so, but I think do it a number of times because once he's on the ground, he kind of wants to get back up because Leonardo Santos could slap on an armbar or slap on a rear naked choke and tap Clay Guida out. So I think he's just going to have to outwork him. He's going to have to make it a dirty fight, push him up against a cage, do some dirty boxing, slap him around a little bit like his brother does before the fight. I mean, that's the path to victory. It's going to have to be an ugly fight for Clay Guida to win this fight, but I think he could do it. And again, Santos is faded. He has faded in multiple times throughout his mixed martial arts career, and Guida doesn't. He's the Energizer Bunny, so that's why I think I like the value as the underdog for Clay Guida.
All right, talking with Jordan Sherwood, ESPN Chicago. Follow him again on Twitter, as I do, at Wood1063. Boy, when you look at Luis Smoka in one of the earlier fights here on the prelim card against Vince Morales, this should be a very intriguing fight. You know, we've been off for a week. There was no fights last week. Boy, you start off with this one. It should be a very interesting contest. How do you handicap this one?
I love this fight, because I love Luis Smoka, the Last Samurai. I mean, how could you not love a guy that calls himself the Last Samurai? And remember, this is a guy that's supposed to fight Sugar Sean O'Malley. So the UFC likes his style because he gets in your face. He takes a lot of punches. He can look for submissions, look for strikes, fights at a very high pace. The issue with him is he's been caught. He's been caught with better grapplers. He's been, he's taken a big punch before and then gets submitted. And if Morales lands that dynamite of a right hand, he's going to be in it for a world of hurt. But I think, again, Smoke is going to offer too much. He's going to be well-versed, whether it be the submission game or in the striking, because he fights at a pace as well. But I'm going to pick Luis Smoker to win the fight. But my play is the under. Mm. I think there's a finish in this fight. I think it's either going to be a submission victory for Luis Smoker or a knockout for Morales.
I like that plus money there on the under. But the fact checkers, Jordan, did get in my ear and say that, in fact, Tom Cruise is still the Last Samurai. Just thought you should know that. Okay, let's talk about Jimmy Crute here against Jamahal Hill.
Your fact checker's got to get it right. Your fact checker's got to get it right because, yes, the Last Samurai, but this is D-A.
Oh,
Last
Da.
Samurai, not the T-H-E. So let's get it right, guys.
You got it right. Tom Cruise is still the Last Samurai, but we have the Last Samurai. Okay, I know that you see a pathway to victory here for Jimmy Crute against Jamahal Hill. And what is that pathway?
Don't get in a firefight. Just don't get in a firefight. Be who you are. You know, be the prospect that we all thought you can be, and maybe the future title contender out of New Zealand. And that's what Jimmy Crute is. I mean, Jamahal Hill is going to be an issue. I mean, he's got long limbs. He's an unorthodox striker. But if you get him to the ground, which we saw Paul Craig do, and snap off his arm the last time he was in the fight and get the win, I think Jimmy Crute can do the same. I think Jimmy Crute is better on the feet traditionally and certainly a better grappler, which is why I think Jimmy Crute lands something early, gets Hill to the ground, and submits him. So under and the submission prop are what I'm looking at for Jimmy Crute. I think he bounces back. He learned his lesson against Anthony Smith. His last time out, comes out, gets the win, looks impressive.
Love that play. Plus 240 if that is, in fact, how that fight breaks down. Good money there for Jimmy Crute. Okay, Alonzo Menifield is, boy, he's a scary fighter if you're in the other side of the octagon against him. And against Knight in this one, again, you see a pathway here to victory that might be able to cash a little bit better than the normal side here. What do you like here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a finish for Minifield. I think it's a knockout. I think he goes back to the Minifield that kind of burst onto the scene. Not a guy that's going to wear himself out like we saw in a couple of the blemishes that he suffered in his career. Knight's a tentative fighter. Minifield's going to be able to land something big and finish him off in a round and a half.
Okay, so there it is. A really good value there. If that does, in fact, happen via KO or TKO, that would be plus 200 for Alonzo Menifield. All right, Jordan, always appreciate the time and the information. Check him out on Twitter at WoodOn1063. Coming on back right here in First Strike, Lou Finicaro's up next. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on First Strike on VSiN, I'm your host, Dave Ross, talking all things Rob Font against Jose Aldo. UFC Fight Night should be one heck of a card, a very deep card here as the UFC comes back after their Thanksgiving Day break. It is always great to have Lou Finicaro join the program right here. First Strike, follow him on Twitter as I do at Gamblu. Got a great podcast, Bout Business podcast. Lou, first of all, did you miss the UFC a week ago, or did you have a nice family time and get to enjoy the holiday?
I had nice family time and enjoyed the holiday, although I have to admit, Dave, there were a couple of instances there where I didn't know what to do with myself Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, when I'm often listening to a lot of fighter interviews.
Yeah, I know. You didn't have anything to handicap, so we're back to business this week. Really should be a good card here, Lou. It's a very deep card here as they come back after their Thanksgiving Day break. Let's go right to the top here with Jose Aldo against Rob Font. And you and I always talk about this a lot throughout these First Strike shows. I always look at the age, and normally when you look at Jose Aldo, you go, oh my goodness, this guy's so old. Well, he's only 35 when you say that, because Rob Font is 34. So I know maybe the general public, they don't know Rob Font's history as well as you do, and certainly everybody knows the name of Jose Aldo. Does that play into the handicapping here when you see that that maybe Font isn't as big a favorite as maybe some think he should be?
Well, I'm surprised, honestly, that he's as big a favorite as he is. When I do my handicapping, there's not enough age difference between the two to make a difference. And Aldo has recently only lost to Volkanovski who's a champion at 145, and Peter Yan, who's a champion and a top-end champion at 135. His body of work and who Aldo has been in there with, to me, far exceeds the three last fights that Font has experienced. Garbrandt, who's now fighting at 125, Marlon Morris, who was washed when he got him, and Ricky Simon. So to me, I think it's Font that has more work to do here. Aldo is the bigger, more structured man at 135. And I believe that Font better get off to a quick start here. Yes, we've seen Aldo slow a little bit in recent fights, but that's against Volkanovski and Peter Yan, two guys that put tremendous pressure on a fighter. This is going to be different because Font uses a jab and space, and that's Aldo's game. I lean heavily to Aldo here.
It's very interesting, Lou. And again, when you look at Jose Aldo, he does seem to be, if not getting better with age, at least to your point, he's in there with the very best in their weight classes and still holding his own, even if not winning those fights. Earlier in the show, when we had Nick Kalikas on, we were setting those odds, and you look at it, and you, boy, it's juiced so heavily to the over at 4.5 at minus 135. Do you expect this to go the distance here, or do you think maybe there's a way that this fight gets stopped before that and get that plus money to possibly cash there?
Yeah, as I was really struggling to find the way I wanted to approach this fight, it was between Aldo straight up or maybe Aldo inside the distance. I don't believe it goes all five rounds. Either Aldo could tire at the end if Font can pressure him enough early, or I believe Aldo is structured thick and strong enough to perhaps submit or take Font out early, if should that be the case. So I'll go against the grain there and say that something in the plus money, plus 110, plus 120 fight does not go the distance is rather where I would lean.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Jose Aldo, when he sees blood in the water there like a shark, he will go after that finish. So if these guys get hurt with the stand-up game, look for somebody to try to make this a shorter night than I think most people might expect. You know, we talked earlier in the week, Lou, and we were talking about Brad Riddell against Rafael Fiziev in this one, and you saw the money moving here earlier in the week because I follow you on Twitter at GamBlue. What do you make of this matchup now, and how have you seen that those numbers change? And I wonder if it's to your advantage with the side that you might like here.
Well, we released Riddell on Point Spread Weekly early in the week at the price he's at now, plus 105. It's been bouncing around Pick'em to Fiziev, a light favorite all week long. These guys are friends. They've worked out together in Phuket. When the fight was announced, Riddell called Fiziev to let him know, is this okay? Are you down with this? They both realized that it was going to happen eventually. They didn't think it would be this soon. The difference between these two fighters, in my opinion, is that Fiziev is a straight kickboxer and Riddell has wrestling chops. And for that reason, I lean to Riddell because he's the more well-rounded player. And I believe he's not afraid to use the wrestling against Fiziev in order to steal a round or two in what I believe will be a decision fight and a very, very razor close fight.
There you go. And it is juiced to the over if it does go over 2.5 rounds at minus 220. It's interesting you note that, Lou, that these guys are buddies, and I know you really watch the weigh-ins, and I was watching a little bit before the show here today, and they were laughing, as you mentioned, good friends here. Does that affect your handicapping at all, knowing whether or not these guys like each other or whether they actually get along and are potentially former sparring partners?
Normally, it doesn't mean anything. In this particular sense, however, Dave, it was Riddell, the striking coach at City Boxing, that was working at Tiger Muay Thai in Phuket that welcomed Fiziev there. Fiziev's 2 years the younger man. I sense a little big brotherdom with Riddell. That did have some bearing on my position.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about another fight that I know you had circled earlier this week as well. When you look at Jimmy Crute taking on Jamahal Hill here, what do you make of this matchup, and have the numbers moved in a position that you like?
No, they haven't. Early in the week, again, Jamahal Hill was plus 165, and smart wagers started to catch on that looked like a pretty attractive number in this matchup. So I had to release that early. He's about plus 150 now. And I'm not so certain that Crute doesn't have his hands completely full here. Crute is the more polished and refined mixed martial artist. Hill is really a street fighter that's got unbelievable athleticism, striking precision, and power. But he's not a well-rounded mixed martial artist. And normally, in a mixed martial artist against a brawler kind of a fight, I'm always with the mixed martial artist, except that Crute, his mentality and his IQ sometimes leave him exposed. And Crute's going to have to make this fight by trying to get inside on Hill, and that's Hill's game. Hill recently fought in Phoenix a few months ago a guy named Craig who submitted him and dislocated his elbow. He did that because Hill was too willing to grapple with him on the floor and prove to him that he could grapple with him. Now, Hill on the bounce knows he's not a grappler. He's in with a grappler. I believe he's going to learn his lesson, maintain space, and try and catch Jimmy Crute coming in.
I got a couple minutes left here with Lou Finicaro. Again, follow him on Twitter as I do, at Gamblu. Check out his podcast, Bout Business Podcast. Let's talk about the Carpenter, because the Carpenter is always about business. Lou, you know this, when Clay Guida gets inside that octagon, high-energy guy here, sizable dog here, plus 160 against Leonardo Santos, minus 190. And it's amazing, again, when you talk about age, and you just always assume that Clay Guida is going to be the older guy in the fight, not this time around. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, Santos is 41, and Guida turns 40 the day after this fight, so... They're both older guys, but they fight a little differently. Guida wants to use volume, pressure, unending cardio to smother you, overwhelm you, hopefully get on top position. Santos, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist, is a deft striker. He wants distance, and he wants to touch you up, but he's not a high-volume guy. I happen to think that this is probably the most one-sided fight on the card. For as much as Guida, we respect him and love him, I think he's going to get cut to ribbons in this fight by a guy that's too big, too strong, and can't get taken down.
Wow, that is a fascinating handicap right there, Lou. Let's stay in the main card here. And the biggest favorite on that card is Brendan Allen, minus 365 against Chris Curtis. And I know just from our conversations here throughout other fight cards, you like to find the best value, obviously, possible out there. And I know you don't like to lay those big numbers. Is there another way or side that you might attack this fight?
If I were to attack this fight, I would attack it Allen inside the distance or Allen via submission. I don't know if inside the distance is close to pick 'em or a plus. Surely Allen via submission is a plus price. That's how the fight's going to end. Allen inside the distance, probably by sub.
Yeah, that is the biggest biggest favorite for a reason here. Final minute with Lou Finicaro. And again, Mickey Gall is always a very intriguing name. You're kind of waiting for him to see if he can make a maturation process in his division. Plus 190 here against Alex Morono here. What do you make of Mickey Gall with plus money here? Is this a live dog at all in your eyes?
Maybe, Dave. Mickey Gall has been improving every fight, and where he's improving is his striking. Morono is a good striker, very well-rounded fighter, but Gall will have the advantage on the floor, in my opinion, and I think he can probably keep Morono at bay long enough to make this a close decision. You could try Gall via decision, or fight goes to the decision. One that I like as just a slight favorite price.
Love it. Always great insight from Lou Finicaro. We are back here with Reed Kuhn next on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on First Strike on VSiN, I'm your host, Dave Ross, as we break down everything UFC fight night between Rob Font and Jose Aldo. Should be a great fight card. It is a pleasure to be joined by Reed Kuhn right now. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fightnomics. And Reed, first of all, when you had a week off, we all had a great Thanksgiving. I know you're back there in my home state of Virginia. Was it weird not putting anything into your models and just having a nice, relaxing weekend?
It was. I did have a nice break, but by the time Saturday comes around, I'm stuffed. I'm actually waiting for some action. So I'm ready to get back into it. And I got to be honest, normally I would have expected a light card this week, and it's actually surprisingly deep. We've got a loaded card next weekend, but this is actually going to be a big event for me.
Yeah, absolutely right. We got a pay-per-view next weekend, but this weekend, you're right, it is a loaded card. So let's get right to it here when you look at Rob Font against Jose Aldo. And again, it's always great to have our guys like Nick Kalikas and Jordan Sherwood and Lou Finocchiaro. I am fascinated, though, by the models and what your models show for a guy like Aldo. Because again, only 1 year age difference here. Most people just assume, boy, he's got to be the much older guy. He's not. How do the models show this fight playing out?
Yeah, first of all, these guys both show up very well on paper. So it's, you know, there's not a lot of holes to look at. So I try to look at what differentiates them. And honestly, Font, the difference here is his activity. And I'll preface this by saying this guy uses a huge output, and Aldo has never been a pure output guy. He hits very hard when he's engaged, but he doesn't necessarily lead the combinations or throw a ton of volume. Font, on the other hand, is that guy. He uses a lot of jabs. So he's really busy and he keeps high pressure. And that is a very effective striking strategy if you can withstand those counters. And to date, he has not been damaged. He has no knockdowns. So this will be an interesting test against a power striker, because Aldo likes to use a higher mix of power, even if it's a lower pace. But with Font, I would have been a little concerned maybe that this is a 5-round fight. Can he put on such a pace for 5 full rounds? But I go back to his last appearance versus Cody Garbrandt, who's also a hard hitter, and he actually picked up steam throughout the fight. Font got busier and busier into the fourth and fifth rounds. So when I look at it, I think, okay, the narrative here is maybe that Font is just going to outpoint him and win a decision and hopefully withstand those surges that Aldo is capable of putting on, and hopefully also the leg kicks. And that appears to be how it's stacking up on paper. So the lean here is with Font. He is the favorite. I'm kind of surprised that he is a clear favorite, and we haven't seen it move much, because Aldo is a legend, but Font could be the next big thing in this division, and this is the perfect test for it.
Absolutely. And again, when you look at it and you see how heavily juiced it is to the over here for 4.5 rounds, people expecting this to go potentially the distance here, I think if you're making that play, is that what you anticipate too? Is that what the models are showing too, that we would anticipate this probably being a decision fight?
I think so, yes. I think it's going to be a close decision, but Font's going to edge out, and maybe it's because of his cardio in the later rounds. I think Aldo is always going to be capable of putting in that surge that we've seen, but historically he has been grinded down a little bit, and I think almost he's gotten better at that. Maybe with age, his cardio has gotten a little bit better, but I do see this going the distance, because neither one of these guys has a glaring hole in terms of a weak chin or bad defense. Or really the threat of a submission here. I don't see that. I think if anything, it's going to be Font taking this to the ground. So not a lot of finishing potential elsewhere, because both guys are durable. So I think they just duke it out.
And again, plus 180 if you like Rob Font to win by decision. Let's talk about Brad Riddell against Rafael Fiziev here in this one. Riddell right now, small comeback price here, plus 105. What are the models showing that you see here, Reed?
Yeah, both guys, again, show up strong on paper offensively. These are relatively new guys here, not a ton of data. I was a little surprised. I know there's a lot of hype around Fizzy, and we've seen him do some amazing things. But Brad Riddell actually looks pretty strong on paper in terms of being the busier striker. One stat of note is that I tend to look at what is the mix of jabs versus power strikes in their stand-up. And normally the mix is around 50-50, you know, a one-to-one ratio. These guys are both... One of them is 82%. The other one is 93% in terms of using power strikes. These guys are swinging for the fences when they strike. That can be exhausting, first of all, if they don't get the finish and they go 3 rounds. But I'm also looking at the ground game. And the more eager wrestler here is going to be Riddell. He's slightly higher ranked. That's not really affected in the numbers here, because I didn't really know much about him. And then when the models came out, I see a strong lean on Riddell. Another example where I was surprised by the price, we're getting basically break even because there's more hype, I think, around Fizzy. So Riddell actually looks sharp on paper. He's also a power striker. He puts on a better pace and he's slightly more accurate. Both men are accurate, but he's slightly more so. And he's a more eager wrestler. So those are enough leans to take some plus money or even money.
And again, you saw there juiced again in this 3-round fight heavily to the over here of 2.5. Is that what you see here, or do you think there might be some finishing potential?
You know, neither guy is really too damaged that I see. You know, Fizzy has been knocked down once. Riddell, not so much. Neither one of them has attempted a submission yet in the UFC. So at least on paper, there's not a ton of finishing potential. At lightweight, I do see two durable younger guys, or at least at peak guys. So yeah, I probably would take that lean. That's not a play I'm going to make. If I'm making a play on a slight upset or even money pick, I'm going to be happy enough if he wins.
Absolutely. So plus 105 there. But if you do like him by decision, that is plus 180 on Brad Riddell. Let's talk about Jimmy Crute against Jamal Hill here. And again, you know, Crute, he got a lot of steam behind him. At Hall, we saw what happened against Paul Craig. What are the models showing in this fight?
Yeah, this one seems to be very opinionated. And unlike the other two we just discussed, a lot more finishing potential. Jimmy Crute has not been to a decision in the UFC, and he's only once been out of the first minute of a fight, still a fight he finished. Lots of submissions on his resume, and Jamal Hill, it has been susceptible to that. Now, I was one of those people that was screaming Paul Craig by submission last time and was robbed by the scorekeepers because they technically called it a TKO finish over Hill. But regardless, I think Crute has advantages on the feet. Hill is going to be the very rangy, very high-paced striker, and he's not going to want to be on the ground at all. He's never even attempted a takedown in his UFC career. Jimmy Crute is averaging over one takedown per minute while he stands. And by the way, when he does stand, he's also knocked three people down during that time. So it doesn't take much. He's a very powerful dude. His nickname is the Brute. Not going to mess with that guy. But I think it's the ground game here that is the biggest differential, and that's surprising. I don't think this is a light heavyweight rock'em sock'em knockout fight. This could be a grappling fight, and Crute, I think, absolutely wins on the ground.
Okay, so if it might be that type of grappling fight that you forecast here, Reed, might there be a little value here in the over? It's at 1.5. You're even money, minus 110. What do you make of that, or do you think that still potentially somebody could get stopped early?
No, I think there's still a lot of finishing potential, and submissions do tend to occur early rather than later because of the whole fatigue and sweat issue. But the more interesting prop I'm looking at is Crute inside the distance, because you're basically going from a pretty clear favorite to even or plus money on that prop. So I think Crute gets it done eventually, probably by submission, but don't be surprised if he gets a nice position and gets a TKO finish.
Talking with Reed Kuhn here, got a couple minutes left. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Fightnomics. Great analysis as always, especially with your models here, Reed. Let's look at Alex Morono against Mickey Gall. And again, Mickey Gall, more of a name in this division, but he is the big underdog in this fight. Is there potential here for an upset for Mickey Gall?
I'm not seeing it in the numbers. I think there is a huge difference in strength of schedule here. And even dismissing that for a minute, the numbers, the pure numbers, do like Morono. He is more seasoned. He's more of a dual threat guy. He's experienced on the ground and on the feet. Gall has had success when he wrestles someone and gets the RNC, and that's kind of his MO. Morono can do it all over the place, but he's also earned those statistics against significantly stronger talent than Gall has. So I think, you know, when the numbers come out and they say the lean is Morono and he's a justifiable, you'd even be able to pay some juice for it. I think it's probably even more pronounced. So this is a situation where I look at the number and I think, yep, I feel good about that, and I might even play extra.
Okay, and Reed, we talked about how deep this card is, and normally you've already given us four solid selections here. Is there another fight on this card that really stands out to you when you guys run the numbers and you say, boy, this looks like a really good value play?
Yeah, the guys that are showing up strongly are Manel Kopp, or Cape. This is a couple new guys at flyweight, so we're seeing some pretty strong potential there for Cape. Also, Puelles, Claudio Puelles over Chris Grutzemacher. That one really looks like a striker grappler contest with significant advantages on the ground. So whenever you have someone who's never even attempted a takedown in their career, that's a huge red flag that says this guy is at risk whenever he's on the ground. And then on the flip side, you have someone in Puelles who's going for the submission. He's going to take this down.
All right, great information, Reed. As always, want to thank Reed Kuhn, Lou Fidicaro, Jordan Sherwood, and Nick Alikas for joining us right here in First Strike. Enjoy the fights, everybody. I'll see you next week right back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.